African Revolution.
Uhuru, you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, the bluesologist, speaking to you from the not-so-great white north here in Toronto, and it is getting like Raymond Charles and Betty Carter would say, baby, it's cold outside. And we kick the show off with the music of a young man, 11-year-old, brother from Jamaica named Wayne J, and he did a piece called Chikungunya. You know, black music is always addressing the issues of the day. We deal with issues of the current issue of history. A lot of love songs. When I say we, I mean the music. African people's music is varied, 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 varied. We sing love songs too. Our women, but that's not the only thing that we do. And as that song just showed, Chikungunya is done by a young man by the name of Wayne J. He's only 11 years old, and Chikungunya is a serious problem in Haiti and Jamaica is trying to deal with the situation. And I'm certain Ron Bob Simple will be, well, I guess he's done shows on it, but when we think about Ebola, we should also think about chikungunya. My name is Norman Richmond, and today on today's show, we have an action-packed show for you today. We're going to be speaking with Ezeli Danto. We're also going to be speaking with Noel Hanrahan, and we're going to do a tribute to Augie Johnson. Augie Johnson from Los Angeles, California. He was the founding member of Side Effect. He went to the same high school that I graduated from, and the junior high school that I went to, and we'll talk about him later. But I like to begin the show like I begin every show by bigging up or talking about two men who made it possible for me to do diasporic music on Uhuru Radio. The first person is Chairman Omali Ishitela, the chair of the African People's Socialist Party. Omali Ishitela asked me to come on Uhuru Radio and do what I do. And he gave me the space on Uhuru Radio to bring the world diasporic music. And the concept of diasporic music basically came from a young man by the name of Archie Shepp. Archie Shepp was born in Florida, like Omali Ishitela was born in Florida, for whatever that is worth. And diasporic music is music made in the West, but not of the West. We play music from Brazil. We play music from Trinidad, from Jamaica, from Antigua, from Chile, from all over the world, all the Western Hemisphere. But we cheat because we do play music from the African continent as well, and England, the South Pacific. African people, because of imperialism, are a worldwide people, and our music is worldwide. And we have some great shows on Uhuru Radio. We have Omali Ishitela Speaks that comes on every Sunday. Also, we have Didon Sankara. I was listening to part of this show a few minutes ago, and Didon Sankara has Africa Live. He comes on every Sunday. We also have Reparations in Action with Penny Hess, and I'm going to listen to that as soon as I shut this show down and see what's happening with that situation. We also have Black Agenda Report with my comrade Glenn Ford and my other comrade Nellie Bailey, Black Agenda Radio. And Glenn Ford is a very important person in the African Liberation Movement. And Ron Bob Simple is so nice, he comes on twice. He has Golden Sunday Sounds coming on after us, and he also does Caribbean or Caribbean Forum. But right now, we want you to sit back, and we're going to play some Halloween music. And the first song we're going to play is called The Monster Mash, or Whatever Happened to the Transylvania Twist. Now, I grew up loving this song, I must admit. You can't change your own history. But, you know, many years later, I found out that the Monster Mash, the background singers, were actually the Blossoms. And the Blossoms were a group that was fronted by a sister by the name of Darlene Love. And the Blossoms happened to go to one of the high schools that I went to. I guess the high school that I went to mostly was John C. Fremont, and I was asked to leave John C. Fremont, and I went to Washington High School, but that's another discussion. So we're going to be listening to The Monster Mash by Bobby Boyce Pickett. I'll Put a Spell on You by Screaming Jay Hawkins, a great personality. I can do a whole show on him. He basically knocked the guy out from Atlantic Records, and he had to basically wing his career, and he made a hell of a career, but he was whiteballed by the music industry. We're also going to be listening to the same song by Mika Paris. She is a sister out of England. We're also going to hear from Gil Scott-Heron, Me and the Devil. And we're going to listen to Michael Jackson, believe it or not, and Houdini. The Freaks are getting ready to come out. And stay tuned for diasporic music on Uhuru Radio. Thank you.
for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoebox.
The party had just begun.
In a shoebox.
The guest included Wolfman,
in a shoebox.
Dracula and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It got on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Bordy said.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up? Put a spell on you.
I feel the blues coming on. Shall we do the blues?
Yes.
Your mind
creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
They wear rips and zippers all in their shirts. Real tight pants and fresh mini skirts. All kinds of colors running through their hair. And you could just about spot a freak anywhere. But then again, you could know someone all their life. And might not know their freak unless you see them at night. Cause
the freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night.
The freaks come out.
The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night.
Jumping, the place is packed, and when the crowd's like this, I'm ready to rap. But before I could buzz around on the mic, freaks are all over me like white on rice. Freaks come in all shapes, sizes, and colors, but what I like about them most is that they're real good lovers. They do it in the park, they do it in the dark, but most freaks are known for breaking hearts. You can never tell what a freak is thinking of, and you may never catch a freak without at least one glove. They don't walk, when they step, they strut. And 9 times out of 10, they drive you nuts. So take my advice, you don't stand a chance. Freaks are so bad, they got their own dance. So if you wanna live a nice, quiet life, do yourself a favor, don't come out at night. Cause
the freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night.
Hut, hut, hut,
the freaks come out at night.
The freaks come out.
The freaks come out at night.
Hut, hut, hut,
the freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night.
Hut, hut, hut,
the freaks come out at night.
The freaks come out.
The freaks come out at night.
Hut one. Hut two.
Hut, 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 hut.
Everybody, 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 ever
are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Jalali, a.k.a. Norman Otis Richmond, speaking to you from Toronto, Canada, here in Ontario. And it's like Betty Carter and that other guy would say, baby, it's cold outside. And we were listening to some Halloween music. We heard Houdini, The Freaks Come Out at Night. We heard MJ, Michael Jackson, The Thriller. We did not play Gil Scott Heron and Me and the Devil. We had a time problem. And we heard Mika Paris out of England do a Screaming Jay Hawkins song, I'm Gonna Put a Spell on You. And Screaming Jay Hawkins was we're gonna do a segment on Screaming Jay Hawkins. He's a serious personality. And Nina Simone named her autobiography, I'm Gonna Put a Spell on You. But it was a song that was originally done by Screaming Jay Hawkins, a man who was, he needs a whole show. And first of all, we would like to send birthday greetings out to William Bootsy Collins. William Bootsy Collins, one of the great bass players who, Bootsy has a social consciousness. You know, Bootsy went to Africa with as a member of James Brown Band. He went to Nigeria. He went to Zambia. He went to all of Africa. And if you ever see if you see him recently, he opens his shows with speeches by Cornel West, for whatever that is worth. And Cornel West is not a man that is really admired by the White House, so I think that's kind of significant that he would do that. But joining us on the line from our home is our great friend Azili Danto. And how are you doing, Miss Danto, today?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Now, Zili Danto has been on Diasporic Music and on Uhuru Radio many, many times, but today we wanted to talk about the quiet genocide, Haiti, from FDR to Obama. Now, when we talk about FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and his wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, you know, they are viewed as friends of Africa and Africans in America and all of humanity. Now, Barack Hussein Obama, the first black president of the USA, he is married to a black woman, and not just a black woman, but a dark-skinned black one at that. And I remember being kicked out of a house the night Obama was elected because I was critical of Obama. And so I'm really interested to hear about the quiet revolution from these great men in some people's eye. You know, FDR is supposed to be, talking about FDR is almost like talking about Jesus to some people. And a lot of African people left the Republican Party. Black people in America, it always must be, all we should remember, were Republicans until FDR became president. And Obama is supposed to be, well, he's a brother, you know, brother man from the motherland. And I definitely want to hear about the quiet genocide, Haiti, from FDR to Obama.
And it is precisely that reason, that sort of confusing dichotomy, the hero-villain pathology, I call it, that I try to address the cognizant, what I call the cognitive dissonance with people. So you just sort of just talked about it, actually. FDR, I think, is the only president in the United States that was elected four times before they had the term limit stuff. So
four times. Right.
You know, and he's viewed as the great president of the working class because he put together the New Deal that provided a lot of the programs that people try to, you know, the Democratic Party has champions these days and so forth, you know. So that's what the New Deal was about. But then there's the other side. And I think that that's critically important because we have one history. And that one history looks at the hero side of America. Not the genocide part of America, but the hero side of America. And I think it took me maybe 20 years, actually, to be able to actually say what I'm saying now, that the United States plays both roles. It plays, and in the case of FDR, it plays both roles, hero-villain, in the world, as a power, as a nation. It plays both roles. And it can actually play both roles in one person. With FDR, so just like with Obama. So I have a presentation, as you said. It's called The Quiet Genocide in Haiti, from FDR to Obama, with the subtitle of The UN, a Criminal Organization, from Lumumba to Aristide. And I think that sort of says everything that I've wanted to say about what's going on in Haiti and how it's difficult for people to understand the pathology of white supremacy. FDR, Haiti, everyone knows, was the first and only nation that was Africans that were enslaved that became free. In 1915, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the assistant secretary to the Navy. And in that role, he is called the Butcher of Haiti. Google it.
Excuse me. You know, excuse me, but I don't want to cut you, but a lot of people, and including myself, really didn't know, I'm a fair student, you know, give myself a history, but I didn't know he played that role in Haiti that far back.
Oh, yes. So mm-hmm. In 1915, as Assistant Secretary of the Navy, he held the Haitian Parliament at gunpoint and dissolved Parliament and rewrote Haiti's constitution and bragged about it. The U.S. Marines had invaded Haiti, and they stayed for 19 years. They invaded Haiti on behalf of the Citibank Boys of New York and took out Haiti's gold reserves. And as Assistant Secretary to the Navy, he was personally involved in all of that process. Thousands upon the thousands of Haitians were killed. The CACOs, which was a rebellion against the U.S. invasion of Haiti and the first occupation of Haiti, which lasted 19 years from 1915 to 1935.
Mm-hmm.
So, from that, 1915, yes, I always get that wrong, 1915 to 1934. So, as Assistant Secretary to the Navy, he was in charge of what the U.S. were doing in Haiti, the U.S. Marines, and it was ruled by the bayonet. And he drafted a constitution on what later on would be called helpless neighbors in the West Indies and jammed it down our throats at the point of a gun. And he, that's what he was. That's what he is to Haitians and to Haitian history. But in America, like I said, he was elected four times. He is the president of the New Deal, that presided over the deal that reign during the World War there, and so forth. So Americans have to understand those two roles, because that's one person playing both roles. And obviously, I don't have to explain to you, because we know what Obama is. And so to, let's say, certain black folks who are still asleep, he is, you know, the epitome of the dream, the achievement of the Martin Luther King dream. And to others, like us in Haiti and in Africa, he is the typecast for the hero that came in to do worse than even Bush did in his years as president. So that's where we have the title, from FDR to Obama. And the similarities is that in 1915, FDR rewrote Haiti's constitution to allow for something that the Haitian warriors had said would never happen, that white folks would never, strangers, foreigners would never own land here. This was a place in the sanctuary for black people. It was FDR that rewrote that constitution and tried to overturn the Haitian Revolution. Today, it is Obama. And under Obama today, he is appointed as our Governor General, Bill Clinton.
Hello?
Are you there? Uh-huh.
Yeah, is this Zini?
Yes?
Hello? No, I was, I'm sorry, but I lost, I thought we had dropped the call, but are we still on the air? Okay.
I don't know.
Let's keep on, what point did you lose me?
Norman, just to clarify, you guys are on the air still.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I lost, I just bought this phone, and it's cost me a lot of money, and it's not supposed to give me this phone. It's a very expensive phone.
Okay, I mean, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, beautifully. What was the last?
All right, I didn't realize that I wasn't on the air. So I was just making the connections between Obama and FDR, talking about the fact that under both presidencies, the Haitian Constitution was changed by foreigners, and under both presidencies, Haitian lands were taken, and just making that connection. Also, with regards to the UN, I was making the connection that the UN has been a organization that serves the interests of the wealthy, and the UN are hired guns in Haiti for U.S. interest, U.S. imperialism, and as it was at the beginning when the U.N. was, when Lumumba went to the U.N. asking for help, and instead the U.N. came
got
in
a, got,
and
got killed.
Eventually. Yeah. So I just made those, I was
okay.
Going to try to make those points.
All right. I'm speaking with Ezili Danto of Haitian Lawyers, leader of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. Now, yesterday I received something on Facebook that I guess yesterday was the 51st anniversary of a situation where France killed tons of Algerians in a historical situation in Haiti and Algeria. Fought an armed struggle against the French and the Haitians, like you said earlier, the first only successful slave revolution in the history of the world. But the Algerians fought, and the Algerians, Ahmed Ben Bella. I think we talked about that earlier, but Ahmed Ben Bella went to the UN. And no, when the OAU started, I think it was Kenneth Kaunda, who's the head of state, who was the head of state of Zambia. When they were formed the OAU, Kenneth Kaunda called for a bank, a monetary bank. And I think Ben Bella called for, we said that we needed a blood bank because they were talking about the liberation. But, you know, Haiti has that long history of rebelling, and many people feel that that's why Haiti has never been forgiven, because they not only waged an armed struggle, but a successful armed struggle. Jamaica had rebellion after rebellion after rebellion, but the difference is the Haitians seized state power. Haitians seized state power in 1804, and since that time, I guess the Western world has basically ganged up on Haiti. Or would you agree with that?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, it's the nature of white supremacy. You know, we're talking about 8% of the world population dominating the planet. To do that, I mean, it was born out of genocide. And that genocide is not going to stop in Haiti, the country that basically tried to stop this rampage of these 8% of the 7 billion people in the world. And as I said, you know, FDR led the U.S. Marines into Haiti from 1915 to 1934, and he was known for conducting the atrocities against these. This was the first place before Hitler, that bombs were dropped on peasants, civilian peasants. And that was part of FDR. But in terms of America, you know, I was a political science major in school, and, you know, we were taught, how good FDR was, how he brought the United States out of the Depression and through World War II. But, that was all done at the expense of black people all over the world, including in Haiti. So, and that's exactly what's happening right now. The United States is in economic difficulties, and it's coming through with on the backs and blood of black people with AFRICOM and MINISTA in Haiti. MINISTA in Haiti is exactly the same thing. There's no real difference. It's just the actors have changed, but the institution of genocide upon which the United States and the Western European, Eurasians are built their imperial power base, comes from genocide and stealing lands and resources. And so that's why when folks come to me to tell me about the charitable industrial complex and what a good job, you know, Paul Farmer and the CDC and these people that come to Haiti to cure us of disease that they brought us are about, I point them out to FDR and Obama and to Lumumba, to Aristide, and how Africans as a people are unable to get away from this genocide because colonialism is painted in this imagery of you know, the good FDR, when there's another side to the FDR. If you dig deeper in the United States, you know, how he handled Wall Street. So, but particularly with, you talk about, I think you said Algeria, but at the time, yeah. You know, in terms of independent Black Republic, when FDR was around, there was, you know, Abyssinia.
There was none. Yeah. There was Ethiopia, there was supposedly Liberia and Sierra Leone, yes. But that's another thing, right? It's another issue,
yes. So, we're living in a world, I think, where folks don't understand that, for instance, that, you know, this idea that the UN was created after World War II to stop all wars, to bring about peace, to negotiate, to not have wars. But under Obama, I mean, I don't know how many wars the United States are in at the moment.
Barack Hussein Obama hasn't done anything. I mean, the Chicanos are really upset at him because aside from the Africans in America and many Africans worldwide, Obama's not really that liked around the world because, he's a drone president. I mean, he's deported more people, I guess, than anybody else. And he's supposed to be a student and a lover of FDR. Am I correct in saying that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, other than Abraham Lincoln, he mentions this guy a lot, you know, much more.
Right.
So I think, you know, America has to understand its history if it wants to actually live in a world in a humane manner. So essentially, if you look at the UN, after World War II, it is an instrument of the World War II powers, the UN Security Council, which is made of the nations that were that allied themselves in order to fight off Japan and Germany and Italy. So they're the ones today who are running the world. 192 nations in the UN, but five of them have veto power. Five of them: Russia, China, England, the United States, and France. Pretty much protects their colonial interests through the UN. That colonial interest for the United States in the Western Hemisphere is to make sure that they control the resources of the nations here in the Western Hemisphere, including Haiti, of course. Haiti lies strategically between two nations that the United States doesn't think it has, or it has not, you know, brought to its fold, Venezuela and Cuba. And so that's why Haiti is the country the UN is in with the mask of saying that they are bringing us democracy. But the UN works as a hired gun for the United States, France, and Canada in Haiti. But MINISTA, the UN mission in Haiti, is comprised of 22 nations. And the interesting part of what MINISTA is that no one really talks about is in Africa, you have what they call AFRICOM, which is,
right.
You know, MINISTA is actually the AFRICOM of the Western Hemisphere.
The Western Hemisphere, not the Caribbean, the Western Hemisphere. Good. Okay.
The Western Hemisphere, yes. Because okay, Haiti has less violence than most nations in the Western Hemisphere. But the racist imagery is that Haitians are practical cannibals and incompetent blacks who, from the time of their independence to now, can't rule themselves. So that lie allows for the United States to use the territory of Haiti to bring in nations from all over Latin America. There's 11 Latin American nations that are part of the UN mission in Haiti, who get between 1,000 or less. Some of them have more. Brazil, who is the commanding general of the UN mission in Haiti, has about 2,000 soldiers that are part of that mission. And then you have Uruguay, Bolivia, you have, and all of these people get to train soldiers on an international level that's going to service corporate America and in the West. And they do it by saying that they're there in Haiti to give Haitian rights. And, you know, since they've been there in the last 11 years, human rights in Haiti has become practically non-existent. So,
right.
So they're only there to do their own things. You know, the Pakistanians come in, the Nepalese come in, Chinese come in. They use our ground to learn how to, you know, sharpshooters, to learn how to shoot, you know, at people in the head. This is what they're doing in Haiti because there's no war in Haiti. So what are they doing? But training these various units coming out of different countries in Western Latin America and the Caribbean who live on these little kind of islands within Haiti. So, for instance, you know, in the rural area, you'll have a group of soldiers from Uruguay. They live behind their barracks. And inside, they have things that they would never find in their own countries, like a little, like a mini mall where they can get any American thing or anything they want. They live differently. They're making $800 a month or so, something they would never make in Jamaica, never make in Pakistan. And then with all of the resources, and of course, you know, the extra curricular benefit is that they can just rape Haitian women at will, and boys and stuff like that. We have an epidemic of it. So that's what Haiti is being used for. And while we are suffering, the world is being painted a picture by the charitable industrial complex that they are helping Haitians.
Now we only have about 5 minutes. We only have about 5 minutes left, and there was two things that you said in this 5 minutes. First of all, how can people get a hold of you? Then I want to ask you the final two questions. We need to get you, so people can get a hold of you.
Yes. EziliDanto.com, EziliDanto.com. We are on Facebook. I have that whole piece, not that whole piece, but a part of it is I have pictures of the quiet genocide in Haiti from FDR to Obama. You can find it on my public page. Just Google Facebook, Ezri Danto.
Right. Now, Dessalines is viewed as a, historically, a lot of people have said Dessalines was basically a madman, but we know that it was Dessalines who basically said that, you know, there were people from Poland who actually refused to fight on the French side, and Dessalines made them said they could become Haitian citizens, if you know, and a lot of, I guess there's a lot of Polish folks in Haiti that are, you know, that still live there. And I understand that there's a boulevard, or it was a boulevard. I've never been to Haiti, but there's a boulevard after John Brown. But, you know, Dessalines has been demonized as this madman. And the second point I wanted you to discuss is the fact that I think the UN, I don't know if it's still the case, but it's only five languages that they speak, no African language. I think I'm not a fan of Idi Amin Dada, but one thing Idi Amin Dada did that I loved, he went to the UN and he delivered his speech in Swahili. that blew them away. So we have about two or three minutes. Could you discuss those two situations?
Jean-Jacques Dessalines is Haiti's founding father. To us, he's the greatest hero that ever lived. Of course, to the despots, tyrants, and the Restaveks are the black collaborators. He would, of course, be a criminal. That he is, in fact, the guy who helped stop white supremacy to show that blacks could beat in combat these European nations. Without Jean-Jacques Dessalines, five Latin American nations probably would still be enslaved. Without Jean-Jacques Dessalines, I would be probably still enslaved. That slavery is trying to come back. What you just said is something that the Dominican Republic is about. They see Jean-Jacques Dessalines as a war criminal. In fact, without Jean-Jacques Dessalines, the Africans on, you know, the whole island was liberated by the African warriors, obviously. Haiti was liberated. Dominican Republic didn't exist. But irregardless, he is the name that terrifies tyrants and despots. And we're very happy with that. We want to terrify tyrants and despots. So anyone who finds Jean-Jacques Dessalines to be a criminal is definitely someone who's ill-informed and who likes what I just explained, the hero-villain pathology of white supremacy. They actually think they're heroes and not genocidals, not psychopaths who are intending to actually depopulate the world from 7.5 billion to 500 million. So we don't think that. We think that's genocidal, that's criminal, that's terrorizing. And we will stand with Jean-Jacques Dessalines on that till the end of time. I don't remember the rest of your question.
The question, I think we just, the question was about the fact that there's no African language, in official language in the UN. It's all European languages, and the Idi Amin stood up at the UN. And,
well, as I said, the UN is a criminal organization. It's there only to maintain the rule of the Europeans and their languages. and their culture of genocide.
All right. So we will, I guess we will hear from you again. We're going to be raising funds on, November 15th or 16th, and you're coming on with me for 2 minutes, I guess, and help us raise funds for Diasporic Music and Uhuru Radio, and I'd like to thank you in advance for that.
All right, you're going to have to tell me that time again at some other time, because I didn't put it down, but sure, no problem.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I thought we had, for the sake
okay,
of...
Okay, you take care.
All right, take care. And
all right.
Bye-bye. And that was Azili Danto, and Diasporic Music continues, and she will be back on Diasporic Music and Uhuru Radio to help us raise much-needed funds. And Diasporic Music continues.
There are more U.S. reporters covering the New York Yankees than there are covering the entire continent of Africa.
And it's a shame when we as African people, we make up damn near the majority of the city, but we have to fight to get on white ruling class media.
That tells you something about the priorities of the news media in this country.
We are engaged in a war of ideas.
Warning.
You're locked in to Uhuru Radio.
Stand by.
Right here, right now.
APSP, UhuruRadio.com.
All right, then. I and I no mix with the wicked men. I and I said trample the...
Uhuru Radio was envisioned as a means by which our community, our people, our party, our revolutionary aspirations could contend with the ruling class in this war of ideas that contributes to maintaining the oppression of African people. Part of what African internationalism, Garveyism in the 21st century is about is ending that isolation, is bringing African people together in common struggle. And Uhuru Radio, it allows Africans in any place in the world to have access to other Africans so that reinforcement are always on the way, no matter where it is that we're struggling and no matter what may be the temporary setbacks.
Finally, the station you've been looking for.
Uhuru Radio. No degrading lyrics.
I never call you my bitch or even my boo. There's so much in the name and so much more than you.
Progressive.
And you love her like you are. So you buy her a diamond if I want to die. Oh, don't you think there's something wrong with it?
And millions of dollars leave Sierra Leone in the form of diamonds, yet the people who mine the diamonds make 30 cents a day and a cup of rice. That's the reality all over Africa.
And revolutionary.
AFDEF is an organization of the Uhuru movement that was built in 2007 in order to organize African doctors, nurses, scientists, engineers, and other skilled Africans around the world to coordinate a variety of development projects that work to transform the miserable conditions of existence that have been imposed on our people around the world.
APSP, UhuruRadio.com.
Uhuru Radio is developing a new programming schedule to include more music, cultural, educational, political, and multilingual programs from around the world. We are professionalizing the technical delivery of our programming, improving our sound quality and presentation. We are working to make our audio stream more accessible through mobile devices and distribution networks. This is your media, Uhuru News, Uhuru Radio, and the Burning Spear newspaper, the voice of the International African Revolution. We rely on your support to get the truth out about our struggle for freedom. Become a member today. Your donation of any amount will make a difference.
APSP, UhuruRadio.com.
Uhuru, you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Jalali, a.k.a. Norman Otis Richmond, speaking to you from Toronto, Canada. Here in the white north, the great white north, and it's getting, as Betty Carter would say, baby, it's cold outside. And that is one of the reasons why I really wish they had left my us folks on the African continent. This is living in a... Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, so we had some sunshine out there, but
living in the Great White North is rough part of the year. But we are getting ready to pay tribute to Augie Johnson. Augie Johnson was the founder of Side Effect. He was a great writer, arranger, producer, discoverer of talent. And he was he just passed away recently. I think he was born in New Orleans in 1948. But he went to Thomas A. Edison Junior High School, the same high school, middle school, I guess they would call it now. And he went to Washington High School. Washington High School is where I graduated from high school. And Washington High School is the place that produced Tookie Williams of the great Tookie Williams, not so great to some people's eyes, but I mean, he was a gangbanger and he reformed himself and so on and so forth. But he went to Washington and so did Rolls Royce and so did Augie. When I was in California recently, I attempted to reach out to Augie and I got his information, but I was never able to hook up with him. And we were Facebook friends, but this is a 20-some minute tribute to Augie, and just take a listen. This is our tribute to Augie Johnson from Side Effect.
Augie Johnson.
Hey.
And Side Effect.
Hey.
And like I told you, sit back, don't move out of that chair, because the James and Greg Show has brought you one of God's gifts, a cappella group singing all types of songs. On the count of three, keep your ears tuned in. One, two, three.
Before we start, we want to say to all you people out there, hello.
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 How you doing?
Yeah. Now we're going to take you around the world real quick right here, right now. She rides in the tree top. Do, 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 do. Wait. Let me do it one more time. Weizer Knabe und hab die Heimat lieb, vergotten hohe Filmen in dem freien Eis, die Fußballring, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes,
when she comes,
she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes,
when she comes,
she'll be coming around the mountain, she'll be coming around the mountain, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes,
when she comes.
She rides in the treetop all day long, hopping and bobbing and singing songs. Hey, all the little birds on Jaybird Street.
Wait, man. What y'all doing?
See, we keep this on tape. See, this is live doo-wop stuff.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I watch them bloom. For me and for you, and I think to myself, I think, what a wonderful world.
spacious day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The color of a rainbow,
pretty,
so pretty in the sky. Also on the faces of
people
passing by, I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. What they're really saying is I love you. I hear little babies cry as I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than you and I will ever know. And I think to myself, I think, what a wonderful world. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh, yeah. She rocks the treetop. Do, 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 do. This other little song goes a little something like this. Can we bring somebody in there with us? Can we bring somebody with us? Come on, we need some to let you know that we're all around. You ready, my brother?
All right.
Tell me your name. Tell me your name.
ACO City.
All right, here we go. Check this out. This is new.
I bet you wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew before. Between the two of us guys, you know I loved you more. You took me by surprise, I must say. When I found out yesterday, don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine? Not much longer. Grapevine, and I'm just about to lose my mind, honey, honey.
Vine. Popped your bubble, now you drippin' out white wine. Hold up, baby girl, you still mine? Hold up, now you really lookin' swole up. I ain't do that, I ain't know that. You pull that, need a road tracks. Goddamn, I answer to God I am. No, I thought you was, but God is man. Hold up, I'm just tryna get you and me on the same track, baby, B. Maybe we could be like a Bible series. Maybe we like a Bible story. Maybe your glory could be mine. Maybe we tell stories, baby. Hold up, maybe go on Oprah. Make we write a song. Little we can we write a whole scene. I don't know where, but baby girl, back. Come back to the first dream. Come back to me, girl. Don't even wait. Don't run away. Don't tell me what you want to say, because I know what you want, baby. It ain't no yes. It's baby. It's no. It ain't him, it's me. This love ain't free. But I heard it through the grapevine. Baby girl, make you still mine. Baby, you still mine. Baby, you still mine. Walking on
by surprise, I must say. When I found out yesterday, don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine? And not much longer would you be mine, baby. I heard it through the grapevine. And I'm just about to lose my mind.
Damn, too smooth for this.
If I not much longer, would you be my baby?
Cause baby, I'm asking if you really mind. And if you really mind, then we could be divine. Walking on sunshine to the end of time, baby. Bye.
That's what I'm looking.
I bet you wondering how I knew doo-doo-wop about your plans doo-doo-wop to make me blue doo-doo-wop with some other guy doo-doo-wop you knew before. Doo-doo-wop. Between the two of us guys, doo-doo-wop, you know I loved you more.
Doo-doo-wop.
You took me by surprise.
Took me by surprise, I must say.
And I found out yesterday. Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine? How much longer would you be mine, baby? I heard it through the grapevine, and I'm just about to lose my mind, honey, honey, yeah.
Doo-doo-wop.
Rose of red.
Doo-doo-wop.
Violets of blue.
Doo-doo-wop.
She painted the nails.
Doo-doo-wop.
She left by two. Hold up.
Doo-doo-wop.
I'm like, where you going?
Doo-doo-wop.
She like, I'm packing.
Doo-doo-wop.
She packing in action.
Doo-doo-wop.
She moving in action. I'm like,
doo-doo-wop.
Baby, slow down now.
Doo-doo-wop.
Got me looking like a clown.
Doo-doo-wop.
I'm like, baby, let's roll together.
Doo-doo-wop.
Let me smoke a little weed together. I'm just trying to get on the same page together. Maybe read a few lines together. Man, it's whatever.
Doo-doo-wop.
I'm just trying to get clever.
Doo-doo-wop.
You too, baby.
Doo-doo-wop.
Better get right, girl.
Doo-doo-wop.
Yeah, and I say glue because you
doo-doo-wop.
Stick it to the next man like it's okay.
You're
the school man.
You could have told me yourself. But I found out from someone else. Don't you know that I heard it through the grapevine? And I'm just about to lose my mind. Baby, I heard it through the grapevine. And I'm just about to honey, yeah.
Heard it through the grapevine. How much longer would you be my baby? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know.
Heard it through the grapevine. How much longer would you be my baby? Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
That was out of sight, guys. That was out of sight. Now listen. I don't know who you are, and I definitely don't know who you are. I know you. are you? Yes, please sir. Tell Torrance whose side effect is.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. Torrance, side effect is to my right, Mr. Ricky Abernathy. And to my far left is Milton Ellis. Then we have William Jordan. And we have a newcomer here, AC.
AC? My rapper.
He's a what you call a doo-wop rapper.
Doo-wopping and rapping.
Yes, spark plug rapper. That?
We did.
You all did?
Yeah, we just started singing and he started rapping.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was it. And you told me before we started that William was pretty new.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you find him, man? How you do this?
Well, we went out to county jail the other day and we're releasing people. And we got
him.
I told
you about that.
Stop doing
it. Yeah, stop
doing
it. Stop
doing it. I've been doing it. Yeah, I've been doing it. I know William. We've been, you know, like the same little vocal groups around the city and everything. And, you know, I called him. He subbed for us one time. We did a thing. Where was that?
Yeah, but let me ask you this, man. You go a long way back, and you keep staying in the game. You're relevant to this guy. He got early tens. But you know, you're staying relevant with this business, and I like that. The world needs to know Augie Johnson. Now, you was in the news, man.
I know.
I do a lot of TMZ.
Okay.
Hello.
That's what I do. But when I saw that you was in the news for your son being Michael Jackson's son, I said no.
That's what I said. No. Tell me it is.
I'm trying to say if he was Michael Jackson's son, I missed out on some of that money.
But wasn't you with Mickey Howard?
Yeah, well, I thought it was my child. I mean, we're in the room that night,
And then they said Joe Jackson could be the daddy.
Joe Jackson?
No.
Joe Jackson.
I don't know Joe. He ain't the average Joe, that's for sure.
You talking about the singer Joe?
Joe Jackson. The father to the singer.
Oh, okay.
Michael Joe.
Michael Joe.
Not that much. Well, Michael Joe and Joe, for some funny reason.
Yes.
Child.
That's real funny reason.
I know, that's funny.
Your child is they child.
Ooh. I understand. I must be a very strong person. I mean, my genes are very strong. You go flow through Michael and Joe.
Stand up here right now.
Let's go.
Well, Torrance, we just trying to let you know that Augie Johnson and Side Effect has been in the business for years. They had a hit record back in 1978 that went gold. What was the name of that?
Keep That Same Old Feeling Always There.
Keep That Same Old Feeling.
Yeah.
Keep on, keep that same old feeling. Then always there. To please you, what? Go ahead, man. This is our singer right here.
So listen, speaking of singing, can you give us one more?
Why not?
And if you do good, you might be able to.
Thank you.
Is he included in that?
Not this one. Not this one. We're going to go and do this one.
Well, look at the photo. All right.
We're coming back. Should we sing now? All right, Torrance, we're going to bring to you a very inspirational song, very personal song, and to the ladies and the people that are in love, and we're going to let our man, Mr. Ricky Abernathy, sing. Can you do it now, bro?
I think so.
All right, there you go. This is my friend.
Don't tear up.
And you know, ladies and gentlemen, also we're in like closed captures, you know what I'm saying? We have to stand close, so, you know, he's in my back, so, but, you know, Nothing like that.
This is an unchained like melody.
Unchained melody. Unchained. We're also comedians.
Oh, my love, my darling, I hunger for your touch along lonely time. I'm crying.
takes two. I'm crying. Ooh, baby, baby. Ooh, baby, baby. I'm just about at the end of my road, but I can't stop trying. I still love you until the day is here. I'm crying. Ooh, baby, baby.
Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this as much as I did. The James and Greg Show, the best reality of all time. This is real, real stuff here. There's no hidden recordings or people behind the black curtain that are singing for these guys. This is Augie Johnson and Side Effect.
Can we come back?
Come back where? To the show?
Yes, to the show.
You can come back anytime you like.
Can we come tomorrow?
No, but listen, we'll schedule it. We'll talk to our people and see if we
You know what I'd like to do? Maybe one day I'd like to, if we can, invite some of the Torrance people to come out and we do a little show for them, man. Can we do
Well,
that?
How can Torrance people find you all? Because that's what they're going to want to ask me.
Okay, first you go on the Augie Side Effect Facebook, Augie Johnson Facebook. You go on Ricky Abernathy Facebook and
William F. Jordan Jr. Facebook. Milton.
Ellis, L.A. Sookie County Jail. Ellis. Yeah, L.A. County Jail.
Don't confuse the people.
No, we just playing.
Everybody is not as young as you are, Augie, that's out there viewing this.
Oh, and also, you can also go online and go into Marilyn Monroe and go up under, what was it? Marilyn Monroe.
How dare you catch a cold.
Yeah, how dare you have a cold.
No.
And that was me.
Yes, you told me.
Yes, that was me when I was, 13. I looked like I was 9, but I was 12.
And Marilyn Monroe
and kissed me on my cheek.
That's awesome.
And kissed me on my cheek. Awesome. I wanted to take her home, but my mother wouldn't let me.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our show. I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did. And we'll be back with some interesting, most talented people. James and Greg Show. We
can
promise
we do
you
this
that.
Before we go?
You can do anything you like.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We hate to leave you, but we really must say
bye.
That's it.
Thank you, man.
All right, my brother. So 2 o'clock tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah.
So
great.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Next guests have a sound that is every bit as slick as their appearance. As they join us with their latest single on the Fantasy label entitled Always There, let's welcome Side Effect. We'll be right back.
gonna do right there. Only there, only there. All right, only there. I'm gonna do right there.
Gregory Matter, Louis Patton, Augie Johnson.
You were talking earlier and you were telling me that you all famous background singers, right?
Oh, you start off that way, you know. We started off about 4 years ago, you know, doing the, you know, background things behind most of the acts, you know. I can name them. I'll be on the show all day naming them, you know. Yeah.
Those days are gone forever, let's hope.
Yeah. You know?
But I'm sure it was a lot of fun for you. Now, were you ever with the Doodletown?
Oh, yes.
Whatever it was?
Yes, I used to be with Doodletown Pipers. And we did a little doodling.
Yeah, well, you're more into your own thing now, though, right?
Yeah, right now, with the help. Like, one of your friends, Dick Griffey, kind of, like, helped me get started, you know, because, like, he used to encourage me to, you know, try to do my own thing, you know.
Yeah.
And so we, yeah.
That was when he was...
Yeah, that's when he was doing the Guys and Dolls on Crenshaw.
No, don't laugh. Don't laugh. This is really nice to have you folks with us, and we look forward to seeing you again real soon. Side Effect, Busted, Dick Griffin.
Nanga Death is the language of the Wolof people, and the Wolof people are in Senegal, the Gambia, and Mauritania, and around the world. And that is the greetings in Wolof, and we are paying tribute to Augie Johnson, and there will be a public memorial service for Augie Johnson on Saturday, November 15th at 1 p.m. This is Pacific time, and it will be at Centinela Valley Center for Performing Arts. And just go to Google and Google Augie Johnson and get all the information. Augie Johnson joined the ancestors, and he was a graduate of George Washington Preparatory High School. George Washington High School was, there's a film out called Hard Lessons, came out in 1986. It was Denzel Washington starred in the film, and Washington High School was supposedly a troubled school at one time, and it was a young man from New Orleans came there and basically flipped school, and African Spanish-speaking people, Latinos, and people from the Spanish-speaking world. And at one point, it was they changed the name to George Washington Preparatory School because many of the people that went to Washington went on to go to university, and Augie Johnson was the head of the alumni at Washington High School. Like I said, when I went back to California, I went to Washington, to the school, and I made contact with people, and they told me to try to get a hold of Augie. They gave me his number, but I was never able to reach the young man. But Diasporic Music continues. We're trying to reach Noel Hanrahan, but we're going to play some Mahalia Jackson and Duke Ellington and wait for Noel Hanrahan to talk about Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Lord, dear Lord of love, God Almighty, God up above, please look down and see. People through God, dear God of love, God Almighty, God above, please. And see my people through. I believe the sun and moon will shine up in the sky. And where just clouds passing by, he'll give peace and comfort to every troubled mind. Today, often we feel weary, but he knows our every care. Go to him in secret, he home. Sunday, that's the day.
You are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, speaking to you from Toronto, Canada, here in the not-so-great white north, and we were listening to Mahalia Jackson, and she just had a birthday, Mahalia Jackson out of New Orleans, Louisiana, and Mahalia Jackson was Martin Luther King's musical lieutenant, and Martin Luther King loved Mahalia Jackson, and Malcolm X loved Mahalia Jackson. He mentioned Mahalia. He mentions Mahalia in his autobiography, and says that the Nation of Islam did a thing called fishing, where they would go to the churches, and he mentioned, if you go back and read the autobiography of Malcolm X, he talks highly of Mahalia Jackson, and Mahalia Jackson was big, big, big among all of the singers in Jamaica. When I first started talking to people from artists from Jamaica about who influenced them, her name would come up either as a someone that they liked to listen to, try to emulate. But one of the things that most of them and all of them said was that she was viewed as a freedom fighter because she stood next to Dr. King. We're trying to reach Noel Hanrahan, and look, and it looks like we're not going to be able to check her out this week, but she has promised to come on our fundraising, help us raise funds for Uhuru Radio. That's on November the 16th. And right now, stay tuned for Ron Bob Simple. He'll be paying tribute to John Holt, who joined the Ancestors recently. And we're going to listen to John Holt. John Holt did a song called I Want a Love I Can See, which was a cover of the Temptations song. And we're going to play the live rendition of I Want a Love I Can See, hopefully by the Temptations, which features the voice of the late, great Paul Williams. And I think Elbridge Bryant, the guy who David Ruffin replaced in the Temptations. But let's listen to John Holt. And this is called I Want a Love I Can Feel, but the song is really called I Want a Love I Can See. John Holt, the late, great John Holt.
I heard, 'cause they something I heard. So baby, I'm glad of that word.
Oh,
glad
of that word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio, and we were listening to the original Temptations featuring Eddie Kendricks, Eddie Kendricks, Otis Williams, and Melvin Franklin. Paul Williams was singing lead, and Elbridge Bryant, the man who David Ruffin replaced, that was the original Temptations, I Want a Love I Can See, and it was covered by John Holt. The late, great John Holt. And I remember I was in a car one time with a group of people and we were singing I Want a Love I Can See. And we almost had an accident. And I wouldn't be here today if we had that accident. But, and I will never forget that song I Want a Love I Can See because of the accident that almost took place. But right now, we're going to listen to another song by Mr. John Holt called Mr. Bojangles, which was made famous by Sammy Davis Jr. And we also, here on Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio, we played the Futures rendition of Mr. Bojangles featuring the voice of the late, great Harry McGilberry, or as he called himself, Harry Berry. This is John Holt and Mr. Bojangles.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you.
Oh, don't you?
With silver hair, a ragged shirt, and matted pants. The old salt shoes.
steady like we touched down. I met him in a cell in New Orleans. I was down and out. He looked at me to be the eyes of hate. Talk to fly, shook back his clothes all around. Mr. Bartender, sing it out. Mr. Bartender. He said his name's Bojangles, then he danced a little across the sand. He spoke of tears of 15 years, oh how he dogged me. And as he shook his head, I heard someone ask me, he said his name's Bojangles, then he danced away. Most of the time I spent behind these county bars. He said, I drink a beer. He dogged up and died, dogged up and died. After 15 years, he still breathed.
Wonderful evening we're having together.
Uhuru, and that was John Holt, and I would like to thank Lisa Watson for teching today, and we will see you in the whirlwind. We will be back next week with a tribute to John Holt. Take care.